This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. NBA draft lottery came on Sunday, and I tell you what, by the time 2 p.m. rolled around, we had just finished a nice little Mother's Day brunch with the lovely Faith Smith and her son, Christopher. I told her, I think we can be home by 2. Because as we got closer to the 2 o'clock hour, Brad, and yeah. I'm joined by our fantastic executive producer, Brad Carson, also the boss around here, program director extraordinaire.
Use that lightly.
Brad, as I got closer to 2, I started to get a little, kind of getting excited.
A little giddy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get a jump.
Yeah.
Like we did in 2019. You just never know.
No.
And 2 o'clock rolls around, and I tell you what, the thing, come on, guys, we take too long. When this thing started and the representatives weren't even up there, I said, oh, boy, yeah. The NBA knows how to drag something out,
yes,
don't they?
Yes.
They really know how to drag something out. No questions. Got to get those advertisers their spots. You get number 9.
Yeah.
Let's cut right to the chase.
Getting right to it.
And it was disappointing.
It was.
I'd gotten myself all geared up for a jump, and you get number 9. We'll talk about what you do with it, but I'm going to tell you how I felt, just like Tayshaun looked. Did you see his face?
Yes.
No emotion.
Zero.
No emotion.
Emotionless.
That's sort of how I felt, mm-hmm. and I think that's how we all felt. Sounds like from reading Drew Hill over at the Daily Memphian, Zach Kleiman had the same look on his face, just like stoic.
Yeah.
But you can't, this is nothing to get excited about like you did back in 2019 when you're in the top 4. Elliot Perry's getting up. You know, the top 4 were all brought out front, and it was very exciting. That was, the drama was taken out very quickly. And so we'll talk about what you do with the 9 pick if you're the Memphis Grizzlies. I've read the Drew Hill and Chris Harrington pieces. I listened to Harrington along with Jeff Calkins. And again, if Giannotto's got a column up over commercialappeal.com. I mean, that is the question now. What do you do with it? Do you keep the pick? Do you trade back? Do you trade the pick and some other assets perhaps? Because you got a pot of those. Technically, I don't know how strong it is. But do you trade all that to try to go out and get that veteran big man that we all agree you need? So a lot of ways you can go with it. I guess it's good that we now know what it is. We don't have to speculate, oh, and if the pick's this. Some guys you'd think that you're clearly out on. I mean, I don't think you're getting Donovan Clingan down at number 9. Although there is some variance, and that's the thing about this draft. Nobody seems to know a damn thing about the top 10 in terms of, you know, yeah, you know, there's some upside with Sarr and, you know, Risha Shea looks good and, you know, all, but there's no consensus, so much so that, you know, and it's obviously a down draft. Sam Vecenie over at The Athletic wrote, I will not rank anyone. He's talking about these top prospects of this draft. In my tier 1 or tier 2, it's the first time that's happened since I began using the system. Over the last 2 years, I've mocked 9 players that highly, but this class doesn't have anyone I'd consider a top 3 pick in a normal draft. So that's sort of a sign of how down it is. You got the number 9 pick. We'll talk about what you're going to do with it. That'll be among the things we discuss today. Obviously, huge news on Friday. Musa Cisse is back. How about a round of applause? Welcome, welcome home, Musa Cisse. I'll leave the call for John. He can make the call in June. I won't even pretend to try to sound like him because he's got a yodel in how he calls out Moose's name that I can't touch. But I think, you know, we'd sort of worked along the impression of the chances were very high, right, that Memphis was going to have a chance to get a real good shot at getting Musa back. Seemed like it was down to them and OK State, the two previous schools he played at before going to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And we'd sort of worked him into our roster construction exercises. We had talked about what it looks like with him as a piece. So to make that sort of official on Friday was good news. We'll obviously talk about there. There was more Tiger news. Naquan Tomlin did himself some favors at the G League Elite Camp this weekend. We'll talk about what that means for him. We've obviously got Combine. It's a big week for David Jones, right? So staying on Memphis basketball for a second, this is the week, obviously, that he can impress those front offices. It only takes one, and we'll see what comes back in terms of info for David Jones, who's obviously testing the waters and has a decision whether to stay in the NBA, you know, try to go the hard route. Yeah, I tell you what, Brad, I looked at these mock drafts. Again, David Jones not listed.
Nope.
Can he improve his stock with a great showing up at the Combine? We'll discuss that because ultimately it means a ton for Memphis and whether or not he's back with this team of transfer portal. Some all AAC guys. You've got some guys that are coming from some power conferences. And with Musa Cisse, a guy that you're very familiar with, all coming back. Meanwhile, Ashton Hardaway, we saw that too over the weekend, has announced where he's going to play next season. Penny Hardaway's son transferring out. Memphis football gets a big transfer portal addition. Feels like we're saying this every other day for Ryan Silverfield, who was just talking about getting SEC guys and them wanting to be here at Memphis and where it is right now in terms of the Memphis brand, how strong. And obviously, you attract another one over the weekend in Elijah Herring, the leading tackler for Tennessee at linebacker last year. That's a good get. I had one Tennessee fan coming to me. Only not very good. You're going to find out. Do you understand he's dropping down a level from the SEC? He basically dropping down two levels from the SEC to the AAC. We'll discuss what it means for the Tigers football program, which already got a stud at linebacker Chandler Martin. You're going to put Elijah Herring next to him next year. He's got two seasons of eligibility, a huge gift for Ryan Silverfield over the weekend. He's been killing it in the transfer portal. You got to give him the credit. And then in the NBA, my gosh, it feels like we've got a ton to get to. We've got, I would say, three conference semifinals, Brad, that have completely flipped in terms of control. Now, one, we probably predicted or foresaw in terms of the Knicks were getting thin, right? They were up 2-0, but we said, you know what, this is probably not done. And obviously the Pacers show that series is not now tied 2-2. But that Minnesota series has absolutely flipped.
That's nuts. That's the crazy one.
And I will hold up my hand. I was one of many that had penciled Minnesota on through into the Western Conference Finals based on how they dominated those first two games. Nikola Jokic said, hold up. I got something to say about that, obviously. And then what? Mavs, they're in control at this point. We felt a certain kind of way after game one, and Luka's hobbling around there, maybe re-aggravates the injury. We've had two straight games here where, you know, he and Kyrie are taking care of business, and all of a sudden it looks like Dallas is back in control. So, dude, I feel so silly and naive, but I wasn't the only one. Many of you listeners were probably with us. We were saying, okay, well, it looks like Minnesota OKC in the Western Conference Finals. This is done, right?
Yep.
Wrap it up. Those things have changed. And then I'm going to be real honest with you. I was disappointed.
Oh, no.
Fade Brad, over the weekend, our executive producer, our golden goose, when it comes to picking L's that for you means wins if you've been fading him, they decided they want to be a winner over the weekend. Brad Carson decided all of a sudden he wanted to be Joe Fortenbaugh over the weekend. Pick 3 out of 4 against the spread goes 3-1. And so we'll talk about where you're hitting at now after a 3-1 week. I'm just disappointed. But what have we always said? These are integrity picks.
Integrity picks.
Again, and this weekend was proof of that. You're trying to go with the teams that you believe will win.
Yes.
We're not looking for losers here. Brad goes through his process, and his process, I'm sorry to say for our listeners that fade you, man, your process was a little bit too good on Friday. Brad picked 4 games, again, went 3-1. We'll talk about where that season mark is. Before we get to all that, obviously a ton to do. Like we said at noon, we'll do the rundown like usual. Kevin Durant's got a new coach. We know the NFL season opener ahead of Wednesday's full schedule release. and it's a conference championship rematch. Probably should have expected that. At 12:40 or so, we'll do the aforementioned Fade Brad segment, and the tell you what it's hitting at now. I still think you'll be pleased with the percentage.
Is it above a 6-0?
It is above a 6-0.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, exactly.
It's a long game. The
Sharps better back off. Yeah. Those that are saying this thing doesn't have any legs, that Brad Carson at some point is going to get on a hot streak and the thing's going to even out, just back off because we're still over 60, which is much better than you Sharps can say. Most of you Sharps, if you're being honest, can say your percentages. We got two games tonight, obviously. At 1 p.m., we'll do Respect Burgers. Got a ton to get to there. And then at 1:25, very excited about this. It's really the return. After a brief hiatus, we'll get Yahoo Sports Football host and Fox Sports Radio host Jason Fitz back in his usual Monday slot. And so we're so appreciative of that, especially as we get into NFL off seasons, you know, coming up now. You got mini camps going on many places. Then you'll have training camp, everything else. We'll talk about Memphis's position, the University of Memphis's position, in terms of the Group of Five and the chance to make the college football playoff. If Jason Fitz is not aware, and why wouldn't he be, over at USA Today, I think they've got Memphis 25 and the best in terms of Group of Five. We saw the piece from CBS Sports where they've got Memphis along with Boise State among those teams that should be there. Hopefully Jason Fitz already knows this. If not, we're going to inform him and tell him, my gosh, when you're getting players like Tennessee's leading tackler last season, he's got 2 years of eligibility. How is that not going to help you? You're already the favorite in the AAC. How's not going to help you not just win one would be Ryan Silverfield's first, obviously, but and one he'll need to win because that'll be the expectation. But also, I mean, you've got this great shot now, it feels like, you know, at the college football playoff. And you need to grab your seat at the table. It's like we were talking about last week, Brad, while that seat is still there before these big boys bump you out in a couple of years and they try to reformat this college football playoff format the way it is. Right now, you can be the best in the Group of Five and obviously make it. And like I told people over the weekend, I will take that 12th seed all day long. But I figured we would start here. The big news is that now we know, right? We know what the Grizzlies' pick is. Now, that doesn't get us any closer in terms of ending any speculation on what you're going to do with it, right? Even if you'd made the jump, I suppose you'd still be talking some about, well, they got, you know, maybe they use it. Maybe they use it in a trade or something like that. It wouldn't automatically mean that you're going to use the pick if it had been top four or whatever else, right? Although I think at that point you're really looking at those top four guys, all right, you know, which one of these guys is going to drop down to Huston? You feel better about your chances of using it. And Zach Kleiman has discussed this, you know, in terms of if it's a little higher, maybe we look at best available player or trade the pick. If it's a little lower, maybe we trade the pick or look at best available player there. Sort of flipped it in terms of when he discussed this before the draft. But the point is this. We wouldn't have been done discussing what you can do with the pick if it had jumped. Now, we do know it's not. It's a little bit of a disappointment. I think, again, in terms of your odds, 8 was what you were most likely to get. So a drop down from 7th worst record, right, to 9th is clearly a step down.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, it explains, again, there was no joy in Tayshaun's face. Not that there would have been any had they made a jump. I'm not sure. Tayshaun is just that dude that doesn't show a lot of emotion. Yeah. But point is, it was a disappointment. Now, I would ask you, Brad, before we get into what you can do, the mocks, because there's such a variance.
Yeah.
Right? The athletic mock that Sam Vecenie's got, you know, much different than what Gavoni and Wu have over at ESPN. It's like nobody, and you could take your mock, your favorite mock. Sure. I'm not telling you guys that those are the end-all be-all because they're not. And particularly in a year like this where it feels like, you know, right there at the top, maybe you know with Saar and some of these other guys. But in terms of the next 10 down, I just read you what Vecenie said. Like, we don't know on these guys, right? And so there's such a variance on what could be there at 9. But in terms of where the pick is, Brad, just want to ask you right off top, do you think it makes it any more or less likely that you will trade the pick as opposed to using it because of where it is?
I think you might trade to go up with the pick. In other words, the Spurs...
Well, you'd certainly have to put something with it. Yeah,
so you would package up with it, to your point. package with it to go up. I don't see them trading it in terms of going down. I think they'll either pick it or they'll pick and go up and package some stuff with it.
Well, what if you like a Zach Edey, but you don't like him at 9, and you could trade back and get him? I just throw that scenario at you in terms of the possibility of a trade back.
I think that's very likely.
That could be a possibility.
That's a likelihood.
Well, I think then all things are possible. Well, I agree with you, but I mean, maybe there is a way where the Grizzlies have got a guy circled. They know they're not going to get him at 9, and they're going to use assets or whatever to move up, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But my point with that is that I think trading back might be just as likely, if not more so, in the sense that maybe your guy at 9, you know, having a Zach Edey as a backup big, maybe you value that, but certainly not at 9. And so you'd be willing to trade back, right? So I'm with you.
Especially with the Spurs having 2 ahead of you. In other words, if they get their guy at their first
4
pick,
and 8.
They get that 8 pick, and there's somebody sitting there that you would really like. Let's say it's one of these guards, because there's a plethora of guards there, defensive-minded guards, and you're scared because they've already got a center down in San Antonio. Like, maybe you go to San Antonio and you package something up to get to 8 because you don't want them to take that person, or they're doing you a solid.
You got options.
Yeah,
is the point, whether it's up, back, or if it's or if it's using the pick.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be something I'm certainly interested in. If you're and I was listening to Harrington on this, because again, what's the value of that 9? We really don't know, because again, we don't know in terms of what other teams are thinking or who are there. It feels like it's going to be all but the point is, we don't know. So if you've got to attach something to that 9, right? If it's getting Luke Kennard to opt in so you can trade him with it, or if it's sending out something else, attaching something to it, maybe that's the way. But my point would be, all things still seem on the table. Again, trading up, trading back, using the pick, packaging it up. And again, I don't know, you know, what that trade would look like, because as the point that Harrington makes, we don't really know the value of it, but feels like you would have to put something else with it.
You're a second
if you're
going to
use that, right? Second round pick, something. If you're going to use that to go get a big, right? Mm-hmm. The veteran big, we all think that still feels like it's on the table.
Yep.
Now, let's run through real quick, just for the sake of exercise.
I'm excited about this.
In terms of the two picks that at least The Athletic have got for the Grizzlies.
Yep.
And that ESPN and Gavoni and Wu and all the research that they do that they've got for the Grizzlies. I want to know what you think about both options.
Okay.
For The Athletic, when we already wrote, Sam Vecenie says this, you know, it's as down a draft as he's seen. None of these guys would normally be top 3 picks.
Sure.
And I suppose you could argue that's a good thing for having number 9.
Mm-hmm.
Because perhaps at number 9, Brad, you actually end up hitting on a guy that should have gone top 3 or top 4, right? Just because of, you know, so much unknown on all of these guys. He says Ron Holland, who is a guy that DeMichael Cole, the Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal, talked about last week in terms of liking, and you're adding him on. You know, the 6'8 wing, played for the G League Ignite before the thumb injury ended his season. But as Vecenie writes, and I'll just read it, Holland was the Ignite's most productive player this past season, averaged 19.5 points, 6.7 rebounds, 2.9 assists per game, while being one of the team's few offensive creators. Most of those points, however, came in transition or inefficiently in half-court settings. Below average true shooting percentage and more turnovers than assists as he struggled with his decision making. That's somewhat to be expected from an 18-year-old playing professionally for the first time, but it also left evaluators in a tricky spot as they tried to determine where to slot him. It mentions the thumb injury cutting his season short, so he didn't get a full year of it. But you know, Ron Holland is a guy who's intriguing because of the size.
Mm.
He's a guy who's intriguing because of the age. I mean, let's just use the Gigi Jackson example. You know, sort of, you had the youngest guy in the draft last year. Here would be my concern, and he blossoms in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
Here would be the thing. There was a perfect storm that occurred, right, for that to happen. And so for you to have time to develop a Ron Holland, and again, I'm interested to hear what you think about it.
Sure.
But my point is, where would he play right now? Where would you get him in on a team that has to be a contender over the next 2 seasons? Not 2 years from now. Right now.
Right.
Now over the next 1-2. Right? Where is he going to contribute? You found Gigi Jackson and Vince Williams in terms of wing options. You've got Marcus Smart. You know, and listen, I can understand sort of too now, you know, to push back on my own point here, but Marcus Smart is owed $41 million over the next 2 years.
Yeah.
as you try to sign Jaren to a contract extension, right, before you don't want to get to those at the end of the 2 years and Jaren hits the, you're going to be trying to sign Jaren, right? And we know where Memphis, the Grizzlies are right now from a luxury tax standpoint. It's already tight. Having another wing in the mix, even if you feel good about Vince putting him in the starting lineup, right, moving on from Marcus and his big salary, putting him in, having another wing in the mix, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But Brad, even more important, it feels like to me, is trying to be a contender with Marcus Smart. You traded that Golden State pick. You're invested in it. Marcus Smart was actually playing pretty well at that point before he got hurt last year. What was it? 3 straight 20-point games had never done it.
Yeah.
But my point is, we didn't get to see it. And so, and again, with the priority being, Brad, you got to win now. Right now, how does Ron Holland help you over the next 2 years? We've seen rookies in the playoffs, Cason Wallace, there are some others, right? Christian Brown last year for Denver. Carve themselves out a role where they're doing something in the playoffs. But, guys, you've already found something in terms of those role guys that you can throw at playoffs next year and hope they can do that in GG and Vince.
Yeah.
And so I'd ask you, is Ron Holland at that point, is it worth it there? Or if you could use that pick to trade back to get something that, you know, again, adds your front court depth because you're going back a little bit to get Edie. Is there more value somewhere, something in moving that pick around or, again, moving up, moving back? I just question how much is Ron Holland helping me right now when I just found Vince and Gigi. And frankly, we feel good about them in terms of the possibility of where they would fit in rotation, Brad, in a playoff mix. But we don't know for sure. What, you know, you're just going to throw Ron Holland in the mix, too? That would be my thing. Ron Holland didn't get enough development, it feels like, right now in the G League with that injury being cut short. You would have liked him to get a full season. We're going to do that on the fly for a contender next, you know, the next couple of years. That's how I feel about a Ron Holland pick. Listen, DeMichael says bring him in. And I don't disagree with that, like I just argued. As you have to get more finance, you know, physically responsible with the rest of the roster going forward, makes a lot of sense. Because remember, you love the deals Vince and Gigi are. Like, you're looking good there. You know, adding another rookie-scale guy, okay, good deal. Especially if you're deciding you're going to move on from Marcus Smart. Like, that money's going to be too much as you move forward trying to pay Jaren and everybody's maxed out. But that's just sort of my feeling on Ron Holland, where in terms of whether or not he'd be a great fit right now. Not pushing back on that, he might be a great fit down the road. But I'm about being a contender right now, and I think I found some pieces this year to help me do that in Vince and Gigi that would be ahead of him. What say you?
I don't like Ron Holland. And he seems to be the consensus number 9 if you go CBS.
CBS got him there too.
Bleacher Report, NBA.com, and The Athletic. So
most seem to think he will be available there because the guy that ESPN's got, I'm not sure is going to be there. But back to your point.
No,
you don't like the Ron Holland
And his name keeps popping up because he's the consensus number 9.
I haven't been around to those.
Because I just went to CBS, Bleacher, and NBA.com.
Yeah.
All three of those, plus Athletic.
Well, it just makes a lot of sense. He's kind of been, you know, in terms of that's his area already.
He's big. He's 6'6". I mean, he can defend. But I don't think you need that. I think you need something special as a backup point guard, even if Smart isn't. So, for example, you could talk about Stephon Castle. He's a defensive-oriented guy that could play like a Marcus Smart. He needs to develop a three. But I do still think you need scoring, especially if Kennard's not on the roster. So that's where you look at Reed Sheppard. If you want to have a backup big or potential to have a starting big like Filipowski, if he's available at 9. So the Ron Holland, and maybe it's just not a sexy pick because we don't see him as much as a college player, but it didn't really get me going, Jason.
It just, for right now, it doesn't help me. If I'm going to pick out of this draft for right now, I'd want center help.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I feel like you're not going to be in the mix at 9 for a Klingon. Although, again, there's some variance on him, but none where I see him dropping down to you at number 9.
Yeah.
Right, you're not getting Sar, obviously. And so it becomes about, okay, if we're gonna use this pick and go with, you know, Jason's scenario
like
here of adding center help, well, then you can go back to do that. Even Filipowski, Brad, he's in the teens in some of these drafts.
You're right.
And so whether it's him or Edie, it feels like you could go back and do that.
Yeah.
And so, again, that's me. If I'm using the pick,
I agree with you.
I would rather have center help. But here's real quick to we'll go over to the ESPN side. There's no need to rush this.
That's good.
Before we do, just want to point out Vecini in his mock that obviously he's got Holland going to the Grizzlies. He's got Stephon Castle going at a guy that you just talked about. You know, a 6'4", can play on ball, known for his defense, getting to the basket, everything else. Had a great run, obviously, for UConn in terms of them winning a national championship. He's got Stephon Castle going at 6. That's important because to Gavoni and Matt Wu's draft, they've got the Grizzlies taking Stephon Castle at 9. Here's what they write. The Grizzlies are a best player available front office and will be eager to return to the playoffs for an injury-plagued after an injury-plagued season. While Castle isn't a perfect fit because of the questions around his shooting, and there are real questions there,
yeah.
He has upside because of his size, defensive versatility and playmaking, which give him attractive Swiss Army knife capabilities that could fast track. Most of you guys know this already because Stephon Castle was one of the four guys. Remember that Drew Hill had the piece on last week? We've sort of identified him as a guy you'd love to get. Again, we did that. I don't think most of us did it. Factoring in that Memphis would get the 9 pick.
Yeah, we're way lower.
And so my concern would be Stephon Castle does a lot of what we talked about in terms of Ron Holland, in terms of the argument I just made for him. If you're going to move on from Marcus Smart because he's owed $41 million, I'm pretty sure it is, over the next 2 years, then having a guy like Stephon Castle, particularly from what he brings from a defensive standpoint, in the mix with Vince and Gigi makes a lot of sense. And again, on a rookie deal, especially, again, if you could get him at 9.
Oh, man.
But, Brad, most of the mocks I've seen, have him going earlier. And what I don't want to do is get on draft night hoping and praying that Stephon Castle drops down to 9, and then he's gone, and all of a sudden I'm having to shift plans, right, and making a bad pick or a bad trade based on the fact that I thought Stephon Castle was going to drop down to 9. Listen, I think he would be a good fit in the sense that, you have the shooting questions. Again, he was below 30%, I think it was, from 3.
And, 26.7.
You've already got enough question marks, especially if you decide you're not bringing back Luke Kennard. You got question marks from a shooting standpoint. All that set big time. I mean, you got Bane and who else that you can depend on for sure. Yep. We know Jaren's going to shoot him, right? And we know Marcus Smart's going to shoot him from the corner. But what are those percentages going to look like? There's, you don't know next year. There's no given that those guys are going to be 37%, 38%. We know Bane will. That's it. So adding Castle to that mix, not good from a shooting standpoint. But again, factoring him on a wing, if, again, looking at Marcus Smart's contract, you say, guys, we got to move off this at some point. But they're not doing that now. Back to the point. They're all in on Marcus Smart and seeing what that looks like. And, oh, by the way, that Golden State pick, I'm pretty sure we'll talk about this in rundown. It ended up number 14. That pick that ended up, right, you're going to Boston for Marcus Smart, and then Boston shipped to Portland, I believe in the Drew Holiday deal.
Yep.
It ended up 14. That takes a little bit of the sting off that. Remember we wondered, well, what if that pick ends up, Golden State's pick, if they make a jump, and that could have been you there instead of Marcus Smart. I think if you feel a little bit better.
Sure.
If any, we're still hoping, we're weighing that trade or whether or not, and it's not done. But, in terms of what you got from Marcus Smart, a sort of glance at what he could possibly do for you next season, what he can do for you defensively, I feel better about it, frankly, that became the 14th pick. Portland's got 2 lottery picks, but nobody's worried about them because they need a little bit of everything. But anyway, that Golden State pick turns out to be back to 14. Anyway, what does Stephon Castle do for you right now? It's the same sort of question we would apply to Ron Holland. Does he help you right now? Sure, he could help you down the line if you're moving off of Marcus Smart. But with that, those shooting questions, he's not. Maybe defensively, he's cutting his way out. He's carving himself out a niche next year, and maybe by playoff time again, which is where we will measure this team next year. He's carved out a role for you defensively. But is he going to be adding to you from a shooting standpoint or anything else? Remember, come playoff time, man, you're cutting that rotation down to 8 guys. And again, you feel real good about right now, where Vince is. You already know Brandon Clark's a part of that, hopefully with another, big in front of him, and Jaren Jackson. But my point, you've got Vince, you've got Gigi. Does Stephon help me now? And so I think ultimately that's why all of that, and I question even whether he would be available at 9, because I think this conversation is going to end up being a moot one because Stephon Castle's not, which ESPN's got him dropping to 9. I don't foresee that happening in this draft. Again, particularly with the run that he had in the tournament. If Stephon Castle can show, in workouts and everything that he's got a fairly decent jumper, there's nothing wrong with his form or anything else. It's a matter of consistency. He's going to impress a team enough that he's not dropping down to 9. That said, if he did, I wouldn't be against taking him. But again, I'd ask you, how does that help me now? And so I don't know what the combination looks like in terms of, if you were willing to, and we know the Kleiman is willing to do it, it's just whether or not he will, but move aside potentially moving up to get a guy that you want or potentially moving back, would you be willing to put it with something else? Kennard's deal. Again, that's going to be, you're going to have to put more with that. You know, but could you put it with, you know, Zaire and dumping him off? Santi Aldama. I think in Giannotto's column, his was, you know, the pick, Zaire and Santi. Having that, but I don't care what combination it is. You know, different folks have different combinations. But putting that pick together, right? To hell if it's Kennard, Zaire,
right?
All of that. Santi Aldama as well, along with some second round picks. You know, along with the number 9 pick to go out and help me get the veteran big.
Right.
Then I'm frankly. That's what I'm looking at first. Can I get that done with whatever assets it acquires? And I heard that here was the other option. You know, Chris threw in, maybe it takes your next year's first round pick.
Wow.
To do it. I would be willing to do that.
It feels
This is why, because I'm about winning right now. Yeah. I'm about jumping into this with Dallas and Minnesota and OKC and Denver next year. That's how important I feel like it is to go out and get that big. And if shedding that much salary, again, I'm having to throw a lot into that, maybe a first-round pick in there for next year to do it, to get off of all this, right, to go get that guy, I'm trying that first because I think that helps you more. And, again, from a salary standpoint, you move off of all that, whether it's, you know, look, Kennard's 14.7, you get an opt-in moving on out of here. What's Zaire's making 6. I think Santi's 3 or 4. That's another 10. You know, that helps you in terms of what you're able to bring back right in salary. Again, I'm not enough of a Bobby Marks, a Chris Harrington that's got the Excel sheet that can tell you exactly what it can look like in terms of salary that you bring back in on that big. But I'm willing to part with all that, put it in whatever form that it needs to be. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
Out of here, and if I can help myself getting off Zaire, because let's be real, you got to pull Zaire out of the wing mix. If you can get rid of him, perfect. Right, $6 million next year, you'd love to be able to shed it. If somebody loves LaRavia, though, because they liked the way he shot the ball and you want him in the hole, I'm willing to do that too, right? But whatever combination that is, and for me, it's again, I think it's urgent enough that I'm willing to throw in next year's first-round pick. Yes, these Grizzlies have been great, especially if you look at Vince and Gigi. You know, yes, do they have some misses? Yeah, we were nailing them on those wings with LaRavia and, you know, I'm going to take LaRavia, Roddy and those guys, Zaire, obviously. So first-round picks are obviously valuable, but I'm willing to part with that to sweeten that deal, right, if I need to go with this 9, whose value we don't really know, this 9 this year, to get it up out of here and get that center in here at a higher price tag because I've moved off some of this salary in terms of what I'm willing to give up. Again, I don't have the trade machine in front of me, so I can't tell you what that looks like in terms of the actual setup, the bullet points, how many draft picks it's going to take. But would I be willing to give up next year's first rounder to get me something right now? Put it with this 9, take Luke Kennard off our hands to do it? Yes, absolutely, I would. That's how critical I think it is that the Grizzlies get. You know, that big next year next to Jaren, who can, again, it's not about that Jaren can't play the 5 in the sense that there will absolutely be times in the regular season, but more importantly in the playoffs, where you shift to Jaren, right? You did that against Minnesota. Not sure if you can do it now, you know, with what they've added, but there will absolutely be times where you can play Jaren at the 5. But that is not the way to play him through the regular season. That's a way to get him beat down, to be real honest with you. And frankly, and again, this is... You know, Sane and I were arguing about Jaren on Friday. It's the way to the best Jaren when you've got that guy next to him. It's the way to the best Jaren defensively, right? And I think offensively as well. When that usage rate ain't as high as it was this year, it would be higher, obviously, if he's the starting 5 all the way through. I'm just, you've got to get that center. That feels like the key to me to get back in this mix that we're watching right now. You know, while everybody else is playing, you're sitting out watching. I just need that center, and I'm willing to do whatever I have to in this draft with this number 9 pick, maybe with next year's number 1, right? Because the Grizzlies own all their picks going forward. It's about winning time right now. You can't wait. You know why? Because San Antonio, with 2 picks, what is it, Brad, 4 and 8, Houston jumping into the top 3. Let me tell you something. That's a legit outfit down there at Houston now with Ime Udoka coaching it up. We saw it at the end of the season. They made a run at Golden State for that, you know, to try to get into that play-in. Now, it all broke down, but it's coming together for them. Those are teams, them and San Antonio, obviously with the two picks, you put it with Wimby, you know that's going to be well-coached with Pop. My point is that you would consider yourself above them, but my point, they're coming. So this whole idea about waiting around or waiting to develop another guy, unless I'm getting, Brad, one of these bigs that can help me now, either a reserve role or start, and you ain't getting Klingon, and you could trade back and get Zach Edey. Unless I'm getting that, Brad, I got that pick. I'm on the corner of Poplar and Highland with signs. NBA, come and get the nine, and you know, and with a little dot dot dot. We might consider next year's first round or two. I'd use it all.
Sure.
Maybe they'll say Jason's crazy, but
no.
That's how much I want. How much I see. In terms of the path back to, we keep saying they got to be a contender. You got to be there. I don't think they're there unless they've got some front court depth there. And I don't think you're a true contender unless you got somebody that you know can play. Somebody that by the time you get around the playoffs, Brad, we're not going to be wondering whether he can set screens, good screens for Ja, or if he still needs time to develop there. That's why I want that veteran guy. It's go time, man. And especially, again, as you've only got Jaren, you know, locked up for two more years. Of course you're trying to get him re-signed beforehand. And again, my hope is that you do. But I'm willing to give up that pick and next year's first if I've got to. I've looked at all the sort of scenario, Giannotto at his scenario, say about trading it. I think he too, I mean, that was his basic premise too. He wants to trade the pick. Harrington pointed out, man, because it's nine, you know, that value's a little off. And so maybe you got to throw something with it, like a few. So I'm trying to take all that. I'm willing to push it all in, you know, all of it, Brad, going up to next year's first rounder. I don't want to go too many years in the future, but I'm willing to push it all in right now to go get that veteran big, whatever it takes. Again, is that Kennard, Zaire, Santi? Yeah, let's have it all on the table. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Is that clear?
It's clear.
Okay.
Totally clear.
Stephon Castle ain't dropping a nine. Number one.
No, I get it.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I'm at. At least we know. We know now it's the nine, but we won't know for a long time. Maybe it happens. Remember the Marcus Smart trade happened, I think, the week of. I was listening to Harrington. My memory had to have been joggled, but around draft time, we know what this thing's 2 days now. So I guess it's technically the 26th and 27th of June, first round. They're trying to be like the NFL, Brad. What we just talked about, the NBA, and they want to drag things out.
Year-long thing.
You've got this thing spread out now over a couple of days, so it's the draft, the 26th and the 27th. We'll obviously do a ton of this, but I imagine we won't know maybe until the week before or even maybe draft night in terms of what you'll do with it. I guess my point is, real quick before you I wouldn't be surprised if the Grizzlies just take the pick and use it at number nine. But I think I'd be a little bit disappointed, unless it was clinging or something, and that's not happening. You know, he's not dropping down that far.
Sure.
Go ahead. You were about to say something.
No, I think the bottom lining, the main point you made in the second part when you talked about the current roster is one that I agree on, that I think you have to philosophically come to grips with in order to conduct this draft, and that is the center position, because until you acknowledge that Jaren isn't a center, that experiment ship has sailed, in my opinion, and so I'm fully in agreement with you on that, and that should guide your path as you pick or you trade the pick.
Right, because it's about winning right now. And again, I will never argue against taking best available player, stockpiling talent, because, I mean, look at Vince and Gigi.
Right.
You know, look at the way they blossomed.
Yeah, it paid off drafting Gigi in the second round.
And frankly, I would tell you that it's because of those payoffs that you can now even more so, I think, throw it all in on winning now, Brad.
Yeah, I agree.
Because those have paid off. And I want to throw those guys at the playoffs, right, and being this contender this everything.
Those are your pieces.
I want to throw those guys at it before I want to throw Ron Holland at it and throw him in the mix.
That makes sense.
Or, if Stephon Castle, who may be defensively great, but he's a shooting liability.
And you need Smart to be healthy because those guys profile like Marcus Smart. So you need
– I love having both Vince and Gigi, because to me that helps keep Marcus Smart healthy through the regular season. We've watched a long sample size of Vince Williams, who is unfortunate, didn't finish the year, but frankly, it might have been a good thing because you're already preparing. I'm using the mess out of Vince Williams in the regular season in terms of doing it to help preserve Marcus Smart and lower minutes, right? Lower the wear and tear next year on Marcus Smart. Again, so I'm not, you know, at a place at a trade deadline where I'm saying this ain't going to work. But I've gotten to a point now where Marcus Smart's looking pretty good, hadn't worn him down through the regular season. You've got hopefully a healthy Vince and Gigi that have been taking some of the pressure off of him, and you're hitting the playoffs, you know, with a full deck, with everybody healthy and, again, less wear and tear on Marcus Smart. And so you're seeing that investment, again, that you gave up the Golden State pick for, you're seeing sort of that investment play out and see. And, again, you have time to move off of Marcus Smart if it don't work this year. I'm hearing so many say they're ready right now. Why would you be? We haven't even really seen it yet with Ja, with Jaren, with Bain. You know, for the little bit that we did, little tiny bit, it was actually starting to look good.
Yeah.
Especially for Marcus Smart selling at that three spot. And so you've made the investment. Let's see it play out. And if it doesn't, if he's no good, if that playoff experience, 9 years there with the Celtics, if it doesn't do anything for you come playoff time, then you move off of him. And I get it. $41 million over the next 2 years is a lot. But let's see how that, you know, Marcus Smart's paid that much for a reason. Let's see what it looks like in the playoffs when, again, he's telling you guys, this is what I went through with the Celtics. You know, we can't be like this. Got to be that can pay. I want to see that pay off, or at least I want to see what it looks like and whether it can pay off before I'm moving off of Marcus Smart. Terrible season, wash of a season. Wish we were playing, but the arrival of Vince and Gigi. Yeah, it's, and you have to say that it's still unproven in the playoffs. They got things to prove still, but it gave you so much more flexibility in terms of what I think is your ability to go out right now, make a move for a center, and get this thing back where you're in the mix. It, in a weird way, it's exciting though now that we know what the nine is, because I think all options should be on the table in terms of trying to win now. We got more to talk about, including what Memphis basketball did over the weekend in terms of getting Musa Cisse, what Memphis football did over the weekend in terms of getting Tennessee's leading tackler last season. Ryan Silverfield was just telling us out in Collierville last week, wasn't he? This is a place where SEC guys want to come. Sort of foreshadowing what was about to drop. Some of us thought he was talking about the guys he already had, like the running back, Mario Anderson from South Carolina.
Yeah.
He was talking about what was to come.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that Elijah Herring ain't good when he led Tennessee in tackles last year and is about to drop down to the AAC. This dude's going to be a dang stud. So we got plenty more to discuss on the other side. Before we do, I want to tell you, yes, the NBA playoffs have tipped off and are absolutely rolling right now in the conference semifinals, which have flipped. There's no question about that, at least in three of the four series, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet, so you can get in on the action. There's $150 in bonus bets to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures. Maybe you want to fade Brad when he's not so hot like he was over the weekend. My goodness. He was fantastic in terms of integrity picks.
Yeah, we don't want this fantastic.
We'll see if he can keep it going. Yeah. We'd like to reverse the trend. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than on America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/JSmith to get started. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSmith with new customers getting $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. It's only on FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA and of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Jason Smith and John Martin.
Vertical Myths reported that Musa Cisse was indeed entering his name into the transfer portal.
He wanna go there.
NBA.
Still he don't go there.
To the portal.
Everybody say Cisse something. Cisse something. Cisse something. Cisse something. Cisse something. Cisse something.
The Jason and John Show. Listen live weekdays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
As we got out of here, or after we got out of here on Friday and got set for what I was the show to be a big sports weekend, so many things to talk about. One of them won't be Showboats. My Lord. Did the Showboats just lose to the only winless team in the league? My Lord. So I'm glad.
Wow.
I'm glad that, you know, the Grizzlies were making news with the draft lottery, which would have happened. I'm glad Penny Hardaway and Ryan Silverfield were landing players out of the transfer portal, because Lord knows if we had to talk about the Showboats as our lone thing, That would be a sad, sad conversation. But back to the good part of what happened and occurred, and we mentioned it got happened as we got out of here on Friday. Former Tiger, Musa Cisse, coming on home. Home in the sense that, not that he's from here. What's Musa from? Guinea? I believe that's correct. But obviously played that final season. After coming down from New York, I believe it was, at Lausanne, and decides to play for, yes, I was right, Guinea. Decides to play for Penny Hardaway those first two seasons, then moves on. And I don't know if you remember this. I was kind of mad at him that he was leaving. Not really mad at him. That's an exaggeration. A little bit of hyperbole there. But we were frustrated. Because, like, you know, John was telling us back then, I guess it's been a couple of years because Moose obviously goes on to Oklahoma State and then plays it. You saw him last year playing against you at Ole Miss. I mean, there, you know, it's been a winding road for Musa Cisse in terms of the way back home. But our point was, what you going to leave for? You know, are you people? And that's what John was saying, that Moose's people were telling him he could be better, right? He could let that, maybe that offensive game that's as raw as uncooked meat, raw as the meat you see in Kroger.
He can't catch.
It's not just the fact that the hands are bad. They're small.
They're also small.
I've always thought that they were small for a player of his size.
Yeah.
Right? He's got NBA size. But the hands, yeah. Like Trump hands. How do you have Trump hands? But throw that away. Moose is coming back.
We can't do this.
We started to do that, right?
We were frustrated.
But the point was, who going to cook that meat?
Yeah.
That's the kind of meat that's just, in terms of the offensive game, it's bad meat.
We're happy to have him back. And it's he doesn't need meat. To be an offensive weapon. We got plenty of those.
But my point was, we were frustrated that Moose was leaving. Mm. I don't know, Brad, if you've got it queued up.
Yep.
But we were so frustrated that we got in the studio.
Yeah,
John had inspired it with a text.
Yep.
And we did a little song about Musa deciding at that point to get in the transfer portal. Here's Cisse something.
Yeah.
What was that? All right. Again, listen to John on the yes.
Love the side piece.
Yeah.
Everyone knows all about his direction. Still in his heart somewhere, he wanna go there.
NBA.
Still he don't go there. Everybody say,
Cisse
something, Cisse something, Cisse something, Cisse something, Cisse something, Cisse something. He don't want to get caught up in the middle of it, but he can't help himself. No, he can't help himself.
Interesting on when John decides to join. And so he just was weaving in and out, wasn't he?
But he can't help himself.
Nope.
No, he can't help himself.
No, 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 no.
Caught up in the rhythm of it. Maybe he looking for something he can't have.
Trap it.
Maybe he looking for something he can't have.
Two way.
This was wise advice.
Sometimes the greatest way to see, say something, is to do nothing at all.
Should've stayed.
Should've.
Sometimes the greatest way to see, say something, is to do nothing at all. Sometimes the greatest way to see, say something, is to do nothing at all.
Wow.
Number one hit.
I will say, the song has its haters. I will say, and listen, that's a fair case.
Yeah.
You don't like the song. Maybe you don't like Chris Stapleton, right?
Right.
Because I know I sounded just like him. So maybe you don't like Chris Stapleton, and you just push back on that song. Maybe, again, you're a little bit more of a Key Glock guy and all that, so I can get that. You don't like that vibe.
Yeah.
Okay? But let me tell you this. Do you remember Jeff's song about Precious?
Oh, yeah.
It was better than that.
I have the clip.
Y'all, we were so excited back around here back in the day, Penny Hardaway getting these players and guys we were trying to get. We were making songs left and right, weren't we?
Yeah. It was the moments we two can share.
Again,
it was precious.
Now, Precious
moments.
Will have its fans, and C-Say Something will have its fans.
Yes.
Okay, and fans
well, actually,
of both.
I have the whole song
well,
here.
Well, now, I don't know if we need to do the whole thing, because I think Jeff went on for about a little too long.
The song is 2 minutes. We don't have to play all 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
But again, yeah. No, what I will say is we were better than Jeff's
also
song.
Also a current song, not a one
both
from the 1970s.
To the fans that love them.
The highlights we all can
I mean, compare the singing.
Wow.
And you tell me who gets the check for singing. Better singing.
Our feet and you flying right through the air.
Pretty deep lyrics,
I will
though.
Say, his lyrics are deeper. That's just what was going through to my mind. We didn't need deep lyrics. All right.
Well,
enough,
he's doing
enough.
His own multi-track, though. He's doing his own multi-track. Like,
it's probably a little bit better edited. Remember, too, that John and I got in there one day in the studio because we felt like cooking something up, like Drake and like K-Dot and everything else. And we remember you because you gave us
dice.
You
well,
gave
like
us props on this. We did that on our own.
Yeah,
we did the editing and everything.
Well,
and obviously, that's mostly John. I didn't do anything
because
I have no skill on the ones on the ones and twos
and
the editing machine.
Full honesty, though, also cooked up 15 minutes before the radio program.
Right,
so.
We did it right before, just off the, you know, when you get when you are musical like that, when
you don't
you get
need the, time.
You have to get in there, right? And you have to get it out. And we did that day. And so,
like Tupac.
And again, I'm having a little fun with Jeff's song and for the haters of our song. And you put ours against that. And we're having a little fun. Musa, we welcome you back. I think this is a great addition.
I do too. I do too.
And I thought so much of that in terms of what he could bring back to Memphis in this case. That again, in many of our sort of roster building exercises, as Penny Hardaway has gone out in the transfer portal and now landed seven guys, but on those previous six, in those exercises we'd had right here on the show, we'd said, and you know, would really be nice if you had a guy like Musa Cisse in the middle of it all, another rim protector. Now, I will say this: Tyreek Smith is a shot blocker. The guy you're bringing over from SMU, you know, 6'8", flies around, does, you know, really, really physical in that sense. Penny compared him to Joey Dorsey. I don't know if I'd go there in terms of what he's going to bring from an offense. Just the how massive he was in the lane. That said, in terms of the, you know, the ability to be a shot blocker with some athleticism and everything else, he brings that to the table. But I never saw him as a guy, and I could be completely wrong on this, I never saw Tyreek Smith as a guy that you bring in to be your starting five. Right? Remember, you've already brought Dane Danger in from Illinois. And you figure, you know, he's that guy I'm seeing as a scoring big. And maybe, and this is one case we had talked about, you've got him next to Precious Achiuwa in a 4-5 sort of Dane Danger. Musa Cisse, excuse me, Precious Achiuwa. With
sure.
I'm thinking Musa and saying Precious Achiuwa. You've got Dane Danger next to Musa Cisse in a 4-5 spot with Jordan, who Penny said is going to play more on the wing, but still, you can consider him in this group of bigs, with Jordan and with Tyreek Smith in roles behind those guys. Again, not saying that that's the combination that you go with all season, but that's a possibility, because you've got a Musa Cisse in there who can be that rim protector that Dane Danger is not. Dane Danger, again, can be he's going to have to be a defensive guy for you. Everybody's going to need to buy in this year. But my point is, if you've got him next to Musa, well, there's your rim protector. And, oh, by the way, Musa's in foul trouble, needs to go out. You can bring in a Tyreek Smith, another rim protector in the sense he does it differently, doesn't have the length. But from an athleticism standpoint, there's a guy I'm bringing off a bench in a role like he was for SMU last season, and he's my guy behind Musa that's now in that rim protector role, again, next to Jordan, next to Dane Danger. But what it does is give you some flexibility. It's not just one guy. We talked about the need for a rim protector. You're losing Malcolm Dandridge, who led you last year with 38, 39 blocks.